Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're with us and got some timely topics to dig in with you today. And they are interest rates. What do you know? Rates are changing. Should you pay off that mortgage? Should you keep it if you've got a low rate? What do you do about interest rates going up? Should you be doing something different with your approach to debt and how you handle the liability side of your financial statement? What about investing? How does that change or how is it affected? So to answer these questions and more, I'm excited. Andrea Combs is on the line with us. She is a personal finance writer and columnist and an editor, and has been working with the Wall Street Journal and Market Watch. Those are her two main clients right now. She's also done stories for Miami Herald, Sacramento Bee, San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Examiner, and Yahoo Finance. And in 2012, she won the Excellence in Personal Financial Reporting Award from the Radio, Television, Digital News Association and National Endowment for Financial Education. Very good. A story about 401k disclosures. And you can get more information over at marketwatch.com or wallstreetjournal.com. So let's get Andrea on the line. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I'm excited to talk with you because we have some timely topics that you know, very conveniently, you hit on them in some recent articles you wrote over with Market Watch and Wall Street Journal. And we're like, hey, let's get Andrea on the line to talk with us about this and kind of get some of your perspective. I know that in the writing that you do, you are, of course, leaning heavily on your broad and deep experience in financial topics, but you also do a lot of interviewing of financial professionals, economists, all the folks that are supposed to know what they're talking about. So the big, let's say, $1 trillion question is, as we look at rates still being low, you know, they're still low. They've come up a quarter point. These are the short-term rates, but long-term rates are still low. Should someone be looking to finance? Should they be looking to pay off a mortgage? You know, there's a couple different ways of looking at that. So I guess give me your general thoughts and what you're seeing being advocated as prudent decisions, and then maybe we can get into a little bit more specifics.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, David, for the nice introduction.
And sure.
Yeah, in terms of low rates, of course, it's going to depend a lot on what stage of life one is at. You know, a younger person, it's, you know, if it makes financial sense for you, it's a great time to consider a mortgage just because, you know, the money is so cheap. Even after the small interest rate hike recently by the Fed, you know, rates are still very, very low, obviously. And, you know, one of my financial planner sources talked about how we'll probably still be talking about low rates a year from now.
Sure,
You know, we don't know where they're going to go, but it seems likely they're not going to go, not going to get high very, very quickly. So in terms of say a mortgage, again, depending on your life stage, but you know, I tend to focus a lot on people who are close to retirement, and that's always a big question. Do I pay off my mortgage before I retire? Should I really, you know, really funnel a lot of money towards that goal? And you know, it varies sort of from a purely numbers basis. It might make sense to hold on to that mortgage going into retirement, you know, but there's the psychological side, which I think is very interesting. You know, a lot of retirees in the surveys that I see, one of the financial decisions that they're most happy about is that they paid off their mortgage before they retired, because there's just that kind of that load off your mind. You don't have that bill in retirement, and that's huge. So I think it's important not to discount the psychological aspects of that decision.
Well, as the human illogical creatures that we are, we sometimes will make financial decisions or other decisions and make them emotionally, and then we'll go and find plenty of good reasons why we made that decision and why it makes a lot of logic as well.
That's right. We'll find the evidence to back up.
That's right. But you know what? I'm glad, Andrea, that you made the point about the psychological aspect or benefit, if you will, because a lot of times, you're right, I've run the numbers myself many times, and sometimes it makes more sense to keep that mortgage going into retirement. It may make sense to accelerate the payments. It may make sense to stretch out and, you know, don't pay it off any faster than you have to, or even there's plenty of situations where a reverse mortgage makes more sense and they still have the debt, but they're not having to make the payment. So again, it, you know, just depends on the person's situation, but you're so right about the psychological component to all of this.
And another thing to consider, I think, in terms of whether or not to pay off the mortgage when you retire is one mark in the favor of doing that is that the certainty. Exactly. Your debt is certain, right? You see that monthly bill. You can, if you pay that off, then it's gone. Using the money instead to invest in the markets, that's much, obviously a much more, you just don't know what your return will be. You can have a good estimate, you can have a good guess, but we really don't know where markets are going to be in the future. So
no.
There's one aspect of it is it's just a certainty. You can really free up the liability side of your ledger with paying off that mortgage.
Well, you spoke to it from a psychological standpoint, and I'm going to blend the two together with a cute little analogy that really can reveal what somebody should do as opposed to maybe what they feel like they want to do. And it's real simple. Let's say we have $200,000 sitting in cash, and we can invest that and get a guarantee of 4%. And the question is, should we do it? Or should we do something maybe where we might make 8, or we might make 0, or we might lose 8, or we might lose 20? And so
what's the guaranteed investment?
Now, the guaranteed investment is paying off that mortgage at 4% interest rate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yes,
see, when you
exactly.
frame it that way, people go, oh, wait a minute, you tricked me. Hold on. You didn't say I was paying off debt. I thought it was an investment. But by paying off something at 4%, then it's like we've made 4% because we've eliminated that interest cost. But people never really frame it that way. And it's the same with, take it another step further. I find these analogies to be helpful, or these scenarios. Let's say somebody has no debt at all, but they've got a line of credit on their house that they can borrow $200,000. Would you borrow the $200,000 to go invest it in the stock market? At, say you can get, 3.5% is your interest rate. Would you borrow it 3.5% to go invest in the market? Most people would say no, right?
Right, right. You wouldn't want to take that risk on.
But if you have $200,000 in cash and you owe $200,000 on your home, and you could pay it off, but you're thinking, nah, it's only 3.5%. I'll take the $200,000 and put it in the market. Those are the same thing.
Right. It's a good point. It's all sort of a matter of the framing of it, right? People tend to not see certain aspects of their decision.
So it is, I think, more than we all want to admit, there's a lot of psychology. And, after 18 years of doing financial planning work, Andrea, I feel like I've at least earned a minor in psychology.
I hear that a lot from financial planners, that it's a very crucial aspect of the relationship with the client.
Yeah.
Really understanding what their real goals are, what their fears are. It's a huge part of financial planning.
Yeah.
And one thing I just wanted to point out,
sure.
Sort of somewhat related to this question of whether to pay off the mortgage, is just spending in retirement. Like, people are so worried about how much they have to save for retirement, but
right.
We have a lot of control over what we spend, and that is really the other side of that coin, right? That determines how much you need to save for retirement. So I think it's interesting to think about. I've talked to a lot of people who retired early, and they've thought about what they're spending, they adjusted their spending, and that dictated how much they needed to save, and
yeah.
they approach it from a sense of control rather than panic. It's
yeah, right. Well, I know you talked about this also in one of your other articles from MarketWatch about, what retirement crisis, that people, they also can adjust. And I just worked on this with a client a day ago, that we're talking about what they were doing with their lifestyle and how they were going to spend money and what they needed. And their words, their words where I said, well, if I can't get you that much, we need to make sure it's going to last you the rest of your life. If I can't get you that much, it's not $4,000 a month. What if it's $3,000 a month? And their exact words, Andrea, were, well, you know what? We can adjust to that. We just need to know it's not going to run out. Right?
Yes.
We just need to know it's not going to run out. Don't tell me what I want to hear and give me what I want. And then it runs out later and I go, oh no, I will adjust my spending and based on that.
Right. That's a really interesting anecdote. That's great to hear. Because, yeah, the survey I wrote about, which was a large survey, tens of thousands of people, You know, I think it was almost 80% said that, you know, it's much easier than they thought to manage their finances in retirement. And it is all about what you just said. It's all about adjusting as you go and not sort of, you don't go in, you know, we talk a lot about the 4% withdrawal rule or what have you, but, and maybe that's a good way to start or not, but you can adjust each year, right? You adjust your spending. If the markets are down, you pull back on your spending. And a lot of the retirees I talk to, that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, and if they do the planning ahead, they can even have a, you know, a little more reliability and maybe have a baseline of income that they know they're going to get. And then maybe, you know, discretionary fluctuates above that. You're right. There are a lot of different ways of doing that. If you're just joining us, Andrea Combs is our guest today, personal financial writer, columnist, and editor. And you'll see her work featured in MarketWatch and Wall Street Journal, MarketWatch.com and WallStreetJournal.com. Quick break. We'll come back. Stay right there.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Digny Memorial Provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
Hey, we're back. Andrea Combs on the line with us. And, you know, just breaking it down on the retirement and the income planning and debt and all that good stuff. You know, I will share with you also, Andrea, that, you know, in terms of adjusting and what comes, my parents had a, they were in the school system, teachers, and they had an opportunity to take an early retirement before, you know, it's a new thing that's come out where they've been offering various early retirement programs. This was an early retirement before the early retirement. But in any event, they had an opportunity to retire in their mid to late 50s. And they ran the numbers and they jumped on it. And they chose to take that early retirement. And it put them in a position to say, okay, we're going to adjust to this. Here we go. This income, this lifestyle. But they did a lot of things that were more about how they spent their time as opposed to spending money. And it was,
you mean were they reducing their spending? That was the key?
Well, they were actually able to maintain pretty much their existing spending level, but they didn't, you know, when you retire every day is Saturday, right? So they chose they chose to do things that were activities and traveling and doing things, but not, you know, they got the RV and they did a lot of things that were time and exploring as opposed to, you know, going on a 3-month cruise of Europe or something.
That's interesting. One of the interesting aspects of the survey that I recently wrote up that looked at how retirees are adjusting their spending and are finding retirement sort of more manageable than they thought is one key thing is the perception. So if you're 55, say, and you have, you know, kids in college and a $300,000 mortgage and you go to Europe every year, you know, that the idea of retirement may seem completely unmanageable. Like you're not going to get there.
Right.
But take another 55-year-old, you know, mortgage almost paid off, kids are out in the workforce, you know, tends to, you know, go camping or what have you. That person, retirement seems much more doable. So it really is a matter of, you know, personal circumstances and adjusting as you go, but also, you know, in some cases, it's just where you're at. You know, if your kids are still in college, it's just you know, obviously your financial resources are going to be consumed in large part by that. So it's just a matter of waiting.
And
you may have to retire later. That's another adjustment some people make.
And people also, you know, pace themselves. You know, there's also, I've had this question come up with clients, Andrea. You might anticipate that they look at me and go, Dave, well, when are you going to retire? I'm like, whoa, hold on. I'm not anywhere near retirement. I, you know, thanks for the compliment there. No, I'm not anywhere near retirement. I've got like a 25-year plan here, and because I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to accumulate and then just stop at 60 and be done. I mean, I'm going to have some fun along the way, and I am saving toward that college count, but I want to do stuff along the way, and, you know, retirement will come when it comes. But the point is, it is very individualized. It's based on people's lifestyle, their situation, their family. There's so many different aspects. So, you know, people sometimes get frustrated with financial planners, Andrea, when we say it, you know, the answer to every question is it depends.
Right.
Well, it does. I mean, I figured out the other day, I've given over 700 second opinions. And you know what? Every single one of those people, their situations are different. Every single one.
Right. It really is variable. I thought it was interesting what you just said about your own situation, that you're going to sort of, you know, do things along the way. I mean, I'm not sure if I understood you correctly, but it sounds like you're going to, you know, take time to enjoy life.
You got it loud and clear. That's exactly, because I've heard too many stories and heard too many clients say, you know, not one of them has ever said to me, you know, I guess wish I'd worked harder. I wish I'd worked longer. Doggone it. I took too much time. Not one of them has ever told me that. So my thinking is, you know, I'm not going to, because the truth is, if I retired at 60, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world would I do?
Right.
So I plan on working into my early 70s, and I'm going to take vacation along the way. And I have a strange suspicion that that's going to make me a better planner, that I'm going to rest a little bit and take time off and spend time with the family while the kids are young and, you know, and do those things along the way and not have this idea that I'm supposed to, as a financial guy, you know, supposed to accumulate all this money by the time I'm 60 and retire early, because I don't want that.
That's interesting. You just reminded me, you know, there's been some research lately, a lot, sort of that rule of thumb about how much of your you know, regular income you'll need, what percentage of your regular income you'll need when you retire, that there's sort of that 80% replacement rate that's often discussed, is 80-85% of your you know, last year's income. You'll need that in retirement. And recent research suggests, yeah, that's very high. It will vary, obviously,
yeah, sure,
depending on the individual. But for a lot of people, that may be way too high. And focusing on an 80% income replacement rate really, you know, that means you're saving a lot of your current income in order to get to that dollar amount in retirement, to get to that big portfolio dollar amount. And that may mean you're sacrificing sort of vacations and other things in life as you work.
That's,
you know,
the thing that really, you know, people wonder, hey, Dave, do you lose sleep at night? No, I don't lose sleep about the market or my clients. We do good planning, and they're in the right things for them. But, you know, if I'm going to have any regrets, it's going to be about not having taken time to be with my family or my friends or with my, you know, people that won't be here 15 years from now.
Right.
And, you
right.
know, so you're right. I mean, if you're saving everything for tomorrow, and again, there have been too many stories I've heard over the years, Andrea, of people that retire and then they don't live that long after. I've got a personal a relationship with a client that I'm now managing his money because he had it. We set up a trust and I'm managing that money and dispersing it out to the trustees because he died in his late 50s. From cancer, got cancer and died pretty quickly, and it was a total shocker out of the blue. And here he is. He's worked his whole life. You know, this conventional idea of you work real hard and then when you retire, it's a long vacation. I just don't want that.
Right. Although I guess the flip side of what we're talking about is, you know, I think for some people, the message they might hear from this is, oh, you know, forget saving for retirement.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. No, I'm still saving my share. You know, I'm cram as much as I can into my 401k, and I'm still doing the other things we're talking about, you know, being smart about money and making good choices. And I try to get out of my own way, just like I try to help my clients. But yeah, everybody needs to save as much as they can. But I guess my message, which may be a little countercurrent, is not to the point of not being able to live.
Right.
Because we just don't know what, you know, may come down the road, right?
That's so true. And it is, again, back to spending. You know,
yeah.
You can. I've talked to many retirees who saved while they were working. And these are middle-income people, not necessarily, I'm not talking high net worth here, but they were saving, 30, 40% of their income. And they did that, you know, by driving older cars.
Right.
Really not going out to eat all the time. They really were very careful about their spending while at the same time enjoying life, I would say. But they were careful about their spending so that they could save a lot, and that made their retirement much easier. So they kind of managed both. I mean, I think these are people who would still go on vacation even though they were saving a huge portion of their income, but their vacations might be a lot simpler.
Maybe we strike a balance.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you what I got for every birthday when I was a kid, and I could not tell you the car that my parents drove when we went to the down on vacation to the Keys and spent a couple of weeks there, or probably more than that, pretty much every summer when I was a kid, because my parents had office, because they were teachers. But I can tell you that we went every summer, and we were there for weeks on end, and it wasn't expensive, but we had a lot of time together, and we did a lot of great things.
Right. That's what people remember. That's what memories are made of.
Isn't that interesting? So, you know, I'm trying to do that with my kids now and showing them something besides my immediate, you know, where we live. And, hey, there's another world out there. But I don't mean to be too philosophical today, Andrea, but I think that people need to think really before they do any of the crunching of the numbers. You know, they really need to think and be honest with themselves and maybe a planner who's helping them about what they really want and what really fits for them, because it may be totally different than what's appropriate for the next person.
That's exactly right.
Well, let's grab a break. I want to come back, and I got to talk to you about what to do about interest rates. Okay, hold right there. Andrea Combs, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, personal finance writer, columnist, and editor, MarketWatch.com and WallStreetJournal.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. The YMCA has 6 locations to help you and your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE child care programs provide a safe and nurturing environment. So whether it's Kids Zone while you're working out, after school enrichment programs, kids fitness programs, or Camp Winona Resident Camp, the Y is a safe place for your child. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Holland Tax and Accounting Services, a division of Holland Financial, holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years. We have the financial expertise that will help you manage your business and personal financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you are an individual or a business, Holland Tax can accommodate your needs for tax planning and preparation. For your business or personal finances, rely on Holland Tax and Accounting Services to deliver personal and detailed attention. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free.
And we're back. Andrea Combs on the other line there, personal finance writer and columnist, editor over doing work for Market Watch and the Wall Street Journal. And I wanted to get to interest rates, Andrea, because, you know, everybody's thinking about that and wondering how that might affect them and their finances. And so what's your sense for this? What are you hearing? What is kind of the outlook? What are some thoughts you have from the research and writings that you've done?
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, the rising interest rate environment, and it's taken much longer, it took years. People were talking about it for years before the Fed actually made a move, and now, you know, who knows when the Fed will make another move. We had the small, interest rate rise late last year. Speaking generally and broadly, kind of pulling back a bit, I think the idea of, a rising interest rate environment is not dissimilar to the idea of volatility in the stock market.
Right.
You know, people want to know what to do. And I think basically it's a really good time to kind of step back, check up on your investments. So if we're talking about rising interest rates, you want to look at your bond portfolio, your fixed income portfolio, and see what you hold and see whether, you know, there's risk there that you can't manage, you know, that you feel that you are worried about, or whether, you know, you can take some basically volatility in the bond market and hold on and stick to your asset allocation plan. I mean, it's a really good time when there's volatility in the stock market, as we've been seeing of late. You know, it's a really good time to look at your asset allocation plan. Do you have an asset allocation plan? I've met plenty of investors who kind of, you know, invest, they don't really have a plan in place. And by plan, I mean, you know, what percentage of your investments do you want to have in stocks and bonds? I mean, that's putting it very simply. You're thinking about percentages as a portion of your portfolio. What percentage in stocks? What percentage in bonds? And is your portfolio invested that way right now? Has it changed over time? Have you checked up on it lately?
Yeah.
And with rising interest rates in particular, look at your bond portfolio. You know, you can look at the average duration, which is essentially, you know, a function of the term. Sorry?
Yeah, how long to maturity?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How long to maturity? That, you know, the longer average duration, the more interest rate risk you might be facing. But again, you know, like stocks, you don't want to be timing the bond market either. It's not something where you jump in and jump out. I mean, I'm talking about long-term investors here, investors with a long-term horizon. You want to have a plan and then stick to it with, you know, definitely some thought as to broader macroeconomic forces, but you don't want to be jumping in and out and changing your plan unless it's something you've really considered. I mean, basically, you don't want to do it from an emotional place. You want to be sitting down and thinking about the future. You know, you're going to, even if you're close to retirement, even if you're in retirement, you could be retired for, you know, 25, even 30 years. It's a long time, and your portfolio has to last that amount of time. So it's really, my main point is don't panic. Check up on your investments. You know, with bonds, a bond ladder is you know, often a good strategy for people. If they have a significant enough money, $100,000, $200,000, where they can buy into a bond ladder, and you know, basically that's, you know, you're buying different maturities, and as each one comes due, you reinvest the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing to consider. People who are investing through a 401k plan, probably they're invested in a bond mutual fund, and most likely that fund manager is employing a similar type of strategy of some kind of ladder
Key, yeah, I think the key, Andrea, is for, you know, people to, you know, look at it like, well, it will end where we started. You know, you got to be logical about this, and don't let your emotions get in the way. And, you know, we'll have to have you come back and talk with us again, because believe it or not, we have run out of time. Andrea Combs, ladies and gentlemen, personal finance writer, columnist, editor, and doing that for MarketWatch, Wall Street Journal. Websites, of course, MarketWatch.com and WallStreetJournal.com. And Andrea, it's been a pleasure having you.
David, thanks so much for having me on. It went very quickly. I'm surprised we're already done.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.